John said something about a great review. I was thinking about a brief review, but thank the Lord for this night, and it's good to see you all out. And Jim, it's good to see you after missing you on Sunday in Maryland. Same to you. Got my buddy Jordy here, which makes me really happy to see. He gave me the stink eye, so, and the girls too. But anyhow, let's just, we're going to read Genesis chapter 29, 1 to 30. And I have a few questions for you, and we'll do a brief review and see where the Lord leads. So Genesis 29, starting in verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it, for out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where do you come from?" They said, "We are from Haran." He said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" They said, "We know him." He said to them, "Is it well with him?" They said, "It is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." He said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go, pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, or Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in turn, return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. Let's just a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all the requests that was laid tonight at your feet, Lord. We just continue to uphold our brothers and sisters into your hands and continue to pray for those that weren't mentioned or things that prayer requests that weren't mentioned. Father, we know you know all things and are in full control. We pray for this time that we have as we look into your word. We pray that you would just remind us of your goodness and your love and your grace and mercy towards us as we look in these lives here of your people. And we just pray that you would just help us this evening, Lord, and just help us to have an edifying night and a blessed night. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. We commit this time into your care. We just pray all of these things in your Son's most precious name. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. A few questions. Oh, Dom is here. This is awesome. Hey, buddy. All right. Question number one. Where was Jacob going, and what was Jacob's mission? It's a two-part into one question. Where was Jacob going, and what was his mission? Jordy? No. Okay. Haran? Yep. And what was he? Why was he going to Haran?
To get himself a wife.
To get himself a wife. I'll get you chocolate later. I don't have any chocolate. Or chocolate. Question two. What was the initial agreement between Jacob and Laban? And part of that is, did Laban honor the agreement? So what was the agreement, the initial agreement, and what was, and did Laban honor the agreement that he made with Jacob? He wasn't, yeah, he was, that's true. Don't call Jim Laban. That's basically what he's saying. So the agreement between Jacob and Laban came down to Jacob working under Laban for 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage, right? And we see later on that Laban did not honor that agreement. On Sunday, we said at the end of the chapter, or at the end of the passage, who was the blessed one at the end of the passage? How so? Because it said Jacob loved Rachel. It's all God's plan, yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I said Leah was blessed because, yeah, she may have not been chosen. You know, Jacob didn't choose her, but God chose her. And you see that line of, that lineage, right, from Leah's lineage, that Christ comes from that lineage. And so I said that Leah was, or Leah was the blessed one.
You know, it turns out also that Rachel was the beautiful one. And what told me was that God is the one that looks at your heart and looks at the outward. And I think that's, in my opinion, why he has chosen Leah.
Amen. You're going to see that in the next few chapters as well. That is a legacy. Yeah, and John's going to get into children this Sunday, so we'll see a little bit more of that on Sunday. But no, absolutely, all true. God, our God does look at the inward of a man, and he doesn't look at the outward. And I completely agree with that. Bonus question before we get into a review. What was the total time that Jacob spent with Laban? And you would have to read ahead to know that, but go ahead, Tim, math guy. Sure. What did you say? 20 years, 7 years, married Leah, 7 years, Rachel 6 years for, I guess, upping his livestock and wealth and all of those things. So 20 years, he wound up spending 20 years with Laban during that time period. Yeah. Repeat that. Who's doing the hating of Leah? I'll get back to you on that one. At the end, but go ahead, John. Yeah. I'm going to defer to John on that. But, yeah, because I could explain it, but I'm going to defer that to John. Okay. No, I mean, Marilyn wasn't here on Sunday, so we're going to... Who hated Leah? It's a good question. It's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Six of those boys ended up being part of the tribe of Israel.
So I don't see the hate coming.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at this. The word hate there, it's not what we think. Yeah. It's not the literal word hate. And I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm going to let John take that from there. Okay? All right, so how do we get here? How do we get to this point here with Jacob coming to Haran? Genesis chapter 28, we see that Jacob was blessed by his father, Isaac. And this time, not in deception, right? So in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, and he was blessed. But this time around in 28, we see that he was blessed by his father the second time around, and which brings him to our passage to find a wife amongst Isaac's people. So we see these kind of these circumstances that happened before. I mean, Abraham's servant, you know, went out and try to find a wife for Isaac. Well, he didn't try. He did find a wife for Isaac. And similar, you know, situation here, you see Jacob looking for a wife. Isaac directs his son Jacob to look for a wife. And we also know that there are some places in scriptures, previous and future patriarchs of the faith, that have met a girl at a well, right? And we talked about how, you know, Abraham's servant ended up meeting Rebecca at a well. Jacob here ends up meeting Rachel at a well. Moses, future patriarch of the faith, he meets his wife at a well. But we also talked about another well in John chapter 4, verse 12. And that's when Christ met the Samaritan woman at the well. And when you look at that, the significance of that, this picture that we see there, it talks about really our great salvation in John chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, the woman asked Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 12, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" And he gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so Christ here talks about the eternal, sustaining, life-giving water that only he can provide. And the fruit of that completed work that Christ has accomplished for us once and for all should cause us to have a heart of repentance, right? And because we are in the flesh and we sadly do sin from time to time. And not only should we have a heart of repentance daily, because we do sin daily, but we should also be living a life of sanctification. And that ultimately means living a life pursuing holiness and being more like Christ. So in verse 4, we're getting to this point where we get reintroduced to Laban, right? And we know from our studies earlier, this is not the first time we're seeing Laban. This is actually the second time that we're seeing Laban. The first time was when Abraham's servant went to go look out for a wife for Isaac, and he wound up meeting Laban, and that happens to be Rebekah's brother. And so this would be the second time until that point. The first time, Laban meeting the servant, and Laban now meeting Isaac. We don't hear from Laban throughout those chapters. So this would be the second time that we see Laban. Now, does anyone remember how old Jacob was when he got to Haran and started looking for a wife? 77. Is that right, Danny? Was that 77 years old? 77 years old. And on Sunday, you know, we briefly talked about this difference of approach between Abraham's servant, elderly trusted servant, his approach in finding a wife for Isaac, and Jacob's approach in finding a wife. And what stands out to me the most in Jacob's life thus far was his attitude and his lack of dependence in God. Abraham's servant portrayed a humble heart of prayer, a complete dependence on God and on behalf of his master Abraham. And you see that in Genesis chapter 24, starting in verse 12. This is his prayer to the Lord. He said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. For this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." And so here we see Jacob being more excited about his desires than having a prayerful heart towards the mission that was given to him. And a few weeks ago, we saw towards the end of Genesis 28, when the Lord proclaims his promises and blessings towards Jacob, but at this moment, Jacob's flesh took over. And we see what happens when Jacob meets Rachel. But you know, the question was, are we any different than Jacob? You know, how many times in our own lives have we chosen to be more in tune with our fleshly desires than what God has promised through his word? We read in Romans chapter 8 that we need to choose to set our minds on the Spirit of God rather than choose to live in the flesh. And as we continue here in verse 13, we see Jacob's commitment. Talked about Jacob's commitment and what that meant during that time when he was working for Laban. You know, Jacob had nothing on him. You know, Jeremy spoke on that a few weeks ago. Jacob had some oil, and he used that, you know, as Jeremy mentioned, probably used that for medicinal use. But he had nothing tangible to give or to offer when he met Rachel and consequently met Laban as well. And we know that Isaac would, you know, could easily have had some wealth, had something if Isaac, you know, his daddy provided him some whatever, something tangible, you know, whatever that was. But he didn't. He didn't have anything. And it wasn't because his father didn't own anything. Isaac owned a lot of things. He was a wealthy man. He was a man of God. But here, Jacob has nothing. And then, you know, the culture back then, you know, there was the bride price and the dowry system. And I think Jeremy's looking forward to that dowry system for his boys when they marry some Malayali girls one day. But he had nothing to offer, even in that culture at that time, for both the dowry or the bride price. He had nothing to give them. And even in Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham's servant went out to look for a wife for Isaac, he brought out jewelry of silver and gold and garments, and he gave them to Rebekah, and he gave them to Laban and also their mother, costly ornaments. So that was the norm, and this is a pretty abnormal circumstance. But I was thinking about Jacob's commitment to his future bride. He didn't have anything tangible to give, but the commitment that he had here really spoke to me. Jacob faithfully committed 7 years initially. That was the thought. You know, let me give 7 years to Laban in hopes for Rachel's hand in marriage. And I brought out a question of what our commitment looks like in our lives as a believer. And, you know, what should we be committed to? And the answer to that question, no, more than anything that we do physically or anything that we give, our commitment, our number one commitment as believers, should be committed to God's word. And so in Romans chapter 12, it says the reasons for being committed to God's word is so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And Colossians chapter 3, it talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So being a committed believer in the Lord Jesus is being committed to his word. And it gives us the wisdom and discernment that we need to know how to live our lives, to know God's standards, and also his will for our lives. So for the believer, if a believer comes up to you and you're trying to disciple them or mentor them or give advice, and they're just so confused because they don't know what the will of God is in their lives, the first question is, are you in the word? What's your relationship like with the Lord? Are you in the word? That typically will break down all of the trials and issues and circumstances in their lives. Because if you're not in the word of God, you're not going to know how to think. You're not going to know how to behave. You're not going to know how to make decisions. So God's word gives us a standard that we should keep. God's word also gives us a standard on how to live a holy life. Holiness in the Bible is so profound. And a verse that was brought up was Psalm 119, where it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so storing God's word in our hearts gives us the ability to push away the evil one in our lives and to keep our lives focused on the Lord and to live a holy life. So our commitment to the Lord, more than anything else, is being firmly committed to the word of God, the reading, the meditation, and the application of God's word in our lives. And here we see Jacob, because of his immense love for Rachel, pours in 7 years working hard for his love for Rachel and because of the love that he has for her. In verse 21, we see Laban turning the tables here. That's what Jim was alluding to. He was pretty deceiving. So in verse 21, Laban turns the tables on Jacob. And, you know, back in Genesis chapter 27, we saw Jacob deceiving his father, Isaac, right, by exchanging himself with Esau. And Jacob, which means the deceiver, is now being deceived by Laban. And if you remember in verse 18 of our passage, you know, Jacob was able to exchange even the order of the daughters. Typically, he wanted Rachel, but at the end Laban wound up switching that on him and giving him Leah. So that happened in verse 18. And so now we have Laban here being deceptive in his original agreement. By exchanging the younger for the older. And I'm not sure if Laban was a master negotiator or if it was his charm. But you don't see Jacob putting up a fight. You don't see Jacob causing, other than protesting what has happened, you don't see Jacob fighting about it. You're starting to see this change in his heart. He dealt with his current circumstances very, very differently than how we dealt with it in the past. But I do believe that the Lord is working in Jacob's life, and you'll see that more and more as we're going to be studying in the next few weeks, where Jacob lands with the Lord. And so we know that Jacob accepts Laban's reasoning for Leah and not Rachel, and Jacob continued his commitment to Rachel by accepting Laban's further terms to work even more for him. Another 7 years. Verse 30 caught my attention. And it caught my attention because of the reiteration of Jacob's love and desire for Rachel. Verse 30 says, "So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years." In verse 17, it said, "Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance." And in verse 30, it just reaffirms Jacob's love for Rachel and what he's doing to obtain Rachel as his bride. But I believe this is a bigger spotlight on Leah. Even though this was more about Rachel, about Jacob's love for Rachel, I do believe this is more about Leah here. And in verse 17, it talks about Leah's weak eyes. And the question is, you know, why the weak eyes? Right, what's that all about? And I think my plain answer for that question, the weak eyes, would just be in the context of her passage, and that Rachel was just more physically desired by Jacob than Leah. And not to talk too much about Leah's appearance, because we don't know for sure on all of that, but it did say that, you know, scriptures do say that Rachel was a beautiful woman in appearance and form. And you see Bible commentators and Jewish historians will say that, you know, Leah had tender eyes, she was feeble, you know, she didn't have that spark, you know, in her eyes or color in her eyes. But the bottom line is that Jacob desired Rachel over Leah. And so that's what the Word of God says, and that's what I'm gonna stick with. But as I think about the last verse in our passage, in verse 30, it sounds like a sad ending because it doubled down on Jacob's love for Rachel, right, and not for Leah. And I jumped into verse 31, and John, I promise I won't do 32. But in verse 31, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You know, I couldn't help but think about how much compassion God had on Leah. And through his compassion, he blessed her with motherhood, right? And we'll see this coming Sunday on how God allowed Leah to conceive far greater than her sister Rachel. But keep in mind that this is all in God's perfect will and plan for his people. And you know, Leah may have not been desired in appearance, but as Dan said earlier, you know, God desires the heart, right? And through this passage, Leah displayed a heart of submission, you know, obedience, selflessness, and humility. I mean, not once did you see, through the whole time, Leah putting up a fight. Dan. Isaiah 55.
You can see God in this. Mm-hmm. And man tried to change God's ways. Not knowingly, of course, but he did, and God's plans were not the way Jacob had wanted it.
And thank God it didn't. Okay. Right. And thank God that it didn't happen in that way. I mean, if it wasn't for... And brothers and sisters, we know that our God is sovereign, and you know, he knows all things before it even happens, right? And so, and because of that very fact, we see what comes from the lineage of Leah, right? We see Christ.
Yeah,
Can we sign him up for Wednesday night study? No, I'm getting all no's. All right, sorry, Dan. John. Yeah, you know, in the life of Jacob, I mean, this is a man that Are you going to counsel some of the single men in here? Are you going to be counseling some of the single men in here? They kind of need to hear some of that. That was good, Dan. All right, let's close in prayer. No, but just, you know, going back to Jacob, you know, Jacob was, he's a man that schemed, right? He lied, he betrayed, he even tried to bargain with God, but God chose him. Right, God chose him, and we fall in the same boat. You know, we're no different from this dysfunctional family. You know, as we've been studying these past few weeks, but it's only by God's grace that we've been chosen before the foundations of the world. You know, in the Apostle Paul pens a letter to the Ephesians, and he writes to them that just to help them to understand who they are in Christ and how they should walk. As a result of it, and that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would work together in unison for our salvation. I mean, we are truly a blessed people, and God would, you know, take a sinner like me, take sinners like us, and transform us and change our identity from, you know, children of wrath, you know, to children of light, like we see in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I've often, going to conclude here, I've often come to the conclusion, and sometimes it's after the fact, that I'm a forgetful person, you know, and a couple of weeks ago, Danny, you know, gave this encouragement to all of us that, you know, we have an opportunity every week to show the Lord just a heart of gratitude. And that was a great reminder for me. And I pray that as we continue our studies, that's a great reminder for us, that God chose us, before the foundations of the world. For those of us that have accepted him, it's an amazing thought to think that God would choose us. And it's not because we deserve it. It's because of what he's done for us, not because of what we've done for him. Dan, any further questions or comments? Any further questions or comments? Any more input or thoughts or questions? Yeah.
And what's really interesting there, as you had said, he really just, he kind of voices his disapproval, but I mean, if it was any of us, we'd be like,
what would you do?
Dealing with that situation,
James, what would you do? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a lesson for all of us to watch our behaviors, because God will put us in a situation where it's going to happen back to us, and we just got to keep our mouth shut and wait. And you see that there with Jacob. It's amazing. And you can't really do much more than just state what they have been through.
Hmm.
Where they're like, you'd be hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jacob, yeah, I don't know if I would have responded the way that Jacob did, in my, just knowing my humanity. Yeah, I joke around with Julie, and I say, you know, the boy that's going to marry my daughter is going to have to give me 7 hard years, right? looking at all you dads here. Just going to read something before we close in a word of prayer. If you guys have listened to Vodi Bakum Jr., he once said this. He said, may I never get over the fact that God saved a wretched sinner like me. May I never get over the fact that he allowed me to see another day. May I never get over the fact that he's patient with me and he's long-suffering with me, and that in me dwells nothing that can satisfy him. May I never get over being broken over my sin. May I never become complacent. May I never stop realizing the incredible distance between me and my Jesus, because that's the only way I appreciate the distance he traveled to make me his child. If there's nothing else, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for just looking into your word, just looking at the lives of these men and women that are so extraordinary. We look at their lives and we shake our heads and we think, how can they do this, or how can they say this, or how can their hearts be this way? But Father, we are just like them, or worse. And we just pray that you would enable us to examine our lives, help us just to realize who we are in Christ. For those of us here that truly have a relationship with you, Father, I pray that you would strengthen our relationships with you, and pray that we could be an example, a light to those around us, that we could show others around us our commitment to your things, more importantly to your word, that you would enable us to grow and be more like your son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word once again. I just commit our brother John this Sunday as he continues teaching these wonderful scriptures, Lord, and just ask that you would give him the words to speak, and also answer these tough questions that come our way. We thank you for this time, and we pray that you would be with us as we go home, and just commit all the other prayer requests that, again, Lord, that's been mentioned tonight. We thank you that you're a God that knows and cares and loves us, and our words fall short. Thank you, Father. We thank you once again for this time. We pray all this in your Son's most precious name, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.